Hello, this is David Diga Hernandez, and you're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest sermons and teachings. The gospel is not about self-help. It's about self-abandonment. It is not about the pursuit of our own dreams. It is about the pursuit of the will of God. Jesus calls us to lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel, and that's my challenge to you. I am going to challenge you right now to lay down your life for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of souls, for the sake of the glory of the name Jesus. It's time for you to go to higher levels in the Spirit. It's time for you to go deeper into the things of God and experience the power of the Holy Spirit in and through your life like never before. But if you want to truly experience all that Christ has offered to you, if you truly want to know Jesus in depth, if you truly want to understand the nature and the character of God, if you want the secrets and the revelations of heaven to be handed to you, then you must die to yourself. You must lay down your life. That is my challenge to you, that you might be one who lays down their life and says, Jesus, I exist for the glory of your name and nothing else. I exist that you might be glorified. No matter what it is that you want to do with my life, do it and I will comply. Do it and I will surrender. Do it and I will obey your every command. I want to experience the fullness of the riches of Christ. Before you experience resurrection power, you must experience crucifixion. You see, you don't hear much preaching about the cross of Jesus nowadays. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in just a bit. But here's the truth. A crossless gospel is a Christless gospel. If you don't hear ever about the cross, then it's not the gospel. If you don't hear ever about the death of self and sacrifice and surrender, then it is not the gospel. When you embrace Jesus, you embrace the cross. There is no power in some lives because there is no cross that has been embraced. If you want true power, if you truly want to know what it is to walk in the glory of God, I mean, if you really, really want to know, it is the death of self. It is the crucifixion of the flesh. It is the laying down of your ambitions and saying, you're the Lord, I am the servant, and I will do what it is you require of me. Yes, we're children of God, but we are also servants of God. Yes, He is our Father, but He is also our King, our Master, and our Lord. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross is what brings the power. The cross is what brings the anointing. Before there is glorification, there is suffering. Jesus said, I am the way. And it was the path that He took that is the example for us, the one that we should take. He is the one who was seated at the right hand of God. He is the one who was in heavenly places and chose instead to lay down His life and come and reach out to you and I. So we in turn must say, Lord, if that was the way you went, that is the way I go. The way to the Father is through the cross. The way to resurrection is through death. You cannot be resurrected unless you've died. You cannot use or have or experience resurrection power unless you've experienced the death of self. You see, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 1:18 that the preaching of the cross, it's foolishness to who? Those who are perishing. If what I am saying sounds like foolishness to you, you're perishing. If what I am saying offends you, you're perishing. But if what I am saying stirs your faith, if what I am saying resonates with your spirit, and you know that it's the true gospel being preached, then you are not perishing. You are one who is going to experience the glorification that Christ has promised to us. I'm not talking about a physical death, though that comes at some later point in life. We don't know when. I'm not talking about a new glorified body, though that comes after we've gone to be with the Lord. I'm talking about living a life that is surrendered. It's time to pick up your cross. Let me ask you, in this season of your life, what have you given for the sake of the gospel? In this season of your life, what have you suffered for the sake of the gospel? If your answer is, I don't know or nothing, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not living in the will of God, because there are seasons where the Lord allows rest. There are seasons where we abound in blessing. And though we abound in blessing in every season, there are also those seasons that we experience the pain and the crushing and the suffering of the cross. It is the call of God. Before God will use you, He will break you. Before God can raise you, He will crucify you. Before you can experience the riches of heaven, you must experience the stripping away of self. Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 26 tell us this. And it came to pass, as He was alone praying, His disciples were with Him and asked them, and He asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Verse 19, they answering said, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others say that you're one of the old prophets, or one of the old prophets is risen again. Verse 20 says, He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And He straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Jesus is calling us to give up our lives for His sake. Verse 25 says, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, and he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Now, what's interesting here is that Jesus tells his disciples that if they want to come after him, they must pick up their cross, not monthly, not weekly, not once a week on Sundays, but daily they must pick up their cross and follow him. He's talking about a daily death to self, a daily sacrificing, a daily awareness of our servitude toward God. And he says this in the context of having asked the disciples a question, who do you say that I am? And Peter gets the revelation from the Father and says, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. And Jesus tells him that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter received a revelation about who Jesus was from the Father. And when he received that revelation, Jesus throws to him a challenge and says, you must deny yourself and follow me. Here's my question to you. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? If he is the Lord, if he truly is the risen Savior, if he truly is the resurrected King, then follow him, obey him, and do whatever it is that he asks of you. But if he's not, then do your own thing. But if you truly believe within your heart of hearts, if you truly know deep within your spirit that Jesus is the resurrected King, and you truly know that he is the Son of God, and you truly have received that revelation telling you that he is the Messiah, then follow him. Everyone that God calls has to give up something. I said this last week. Salvation was free, but the anointing will cost you everything. You see, when we get saved, it guarantees heaven for us. When we get anointed, it means that we can take others with us. Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac, even though God had promised that son to him. You see, sometimes God will call us to give up things not that are necessarily sinful, but things that are good, things that we consider blessings. There will be times in your life where you must lay something down that God has given to you. And sometimes He puts it in your hand just to see how much you'll value it. Sometimes God will place within your possession a blessing just to see if you'll still put Him first, just to see where your priorities are. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died." Every believer who is anointed of God, every believer who is going to be used greatly with power, I'm talking about real power, must find the cross. Now, Jesus humbled himself, as I said. Jesus laid down the riches of heaven and came to earth that we might experience the glory of God, that we might come back into oneness with our Father. But if Jesus had this humility, if Jesus had this attitude of a servant, then how much more should we? I want to contradict very clearly the celebrity culture that is permeating my generation. Let me tell you something, child of God. Let me tell you something, future evangelist, pastor, teacher, apostle, or prophet. We are not celebrities. We are servants. We are not to bring glory to our own names. We're to bring glory to one name, and that's the name of Jesus. I don't care how many followers you have. I don't care how special you imagine yourself to be. This is not a career move. This is a calling. The ministry comes from an anointing of the Holy Spirit. We live in a time of self-centeredness where people imagine that being an evangelist or a prophet is having a social media following and some cool pictures up online and people look up to you. Listen, preachers are not self-help gurus. Preachers are not life coaches. And when you think about it, it's all one giant Ponzi scheme. They say, look at me. You can be like me. You can have what I have. You can live like I live. You can have riches. You can have popularity. You can have followers. You can have your whole life in order. And they promise everything that this world has to offer when that is not what the gospel is about. I'll say it again. The gospel is not about self-help. It's about self-abandonment. It's not about my dreams coming true. Ministry is not a path for success or a path for notoriety. When we talk about godly dreams coming true, this doesn't mean that, oh, that will be your chance to shine. I hear this quote going around and people say, well, you know, you're discouraged because you're comparing your behind the scenes with somebody else's highlight reel. And I thought, the problem is not that you're comparing your behind the scenes with somebody's highlight reel. The problem is that you're comparing at all. Who cares if somebody else has what you perceive to be as more success? And the implication of that quote that's going around is that one day you'll have that too. But what if you don't ever get that? What if God's plan isn't for you to stand on some big stage with lights in front of millions or thousands? What if God's plan is for you to do something that other men would consider small? Because the truth is that the way God works in the earth primarily is through many small works coming together to be the church of God. Now, I'm not saying don't think big. I'm not saying don't want to do big events and don't want, but I'm talking about the motive here. Why do you want the thousands? Why do you want the notoriety? Why do you want it? Is it so you can be looked at as some great name, or is it so you can win souls? Why do you want to stand before thousands? So they can look at you, or so you can point them to Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you want the anointing, you've got to get on the cross. And we tend to look at ministry as a means by which we can become important. God, help us with this mentality. You'll never have real power if that's your mentality. You'll never have the real anointing if that's your mentality. And people will see right through it. I'm saying this because I love you and I want you to stay away from that trap. I'm not just talking about ministry. I'm talking about a life that is surrendered. I'm not just talking about dreams and ambitions. I'm talking about character and the way you live. You see, resurrection is reserved for the dead. It cannot be resurrected until it is completely dead. God will not place his power in you if you're still squirming on the cross. God will not touch you with that glory that it takes to reach the nations if your flesh is still squirming. Now, I'm not saying that you need to be completely done, because that's not possible. In this life, you will constantly be battling the flesh. That's why the scripture says you have to die daily. But God is looking at the heart, and He's searching for someone with pure motives. He's searching for someone with a heart that will say, Lord, I surrender whatever it takes. What if your call isn't to stand before thousands? What if your call is to be martyred for the sake of the gospel? What if your call isn't to pastor a church of 10,000? What if your call is to reach an underground group of 12? We need to rethink what we imagine success to be. We need to rethink this self-centeredness, and we need to come to the place where we're broken and we say, God, I just want what you want for my life. You see, Jesus was told when he was on the cross, why don't you come down and prove yourself? Why don't you come off of there and do something about what's happening to you? And that's the temptation. But Jesus, he didn't succumb to that temptation. My fear is that some of us would succumb to the temptation presented to Jesus to come off the cross. Stay on the cross. There's no safer place to be than on the cross. Why? Because it's where you have surrendered all to God. Crucify your pride. Crucify perversion. Crucify your ambition and your impure motives. Crucify your impatience. Crucify your unbelief. Crucify your need for security. Crucify your unforgiveness. Crucify your will and your stubbornness. Stay on the cross. Don't come off the cross. You see, we drift so easily. I think of Matthew chapter 16, where Peter gets this revelation. And he says, and Jesus says, you know, you're on this rock, I'll build my church. And Peter sees that he's the Son of God. But then just a few verses later, we find that Jesus has to rebuke Peter. And he calls him, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Because Peter had revelation one moment, and the very next moment he was thinking in the flesh. One moment he was seeing according to the will of God. The next moment he was seeing according to the will of man. So easily we can drift. I'll show it to you. We just read it in. So go to Matthew 16. We read this same story, but in Luke, but in Matthew 16, we see in verse 15, Jesus asks, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. And then skip down, Jesus predicts his death. And in verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Verse 23, Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. How easily we drift. Peter, who stood right before Jesus, had a revelation of who he was. And then just some time later, he's looking through the eyes of man again. How easily we drift. You see, it's not just sinners that need to repent. It's the church. Revival is in our hands. And you know, revival, I'm going to say something that might sound arrogant, but it's true. Revival is easy. A move of the Holy Spirit is easy to come by. You just need to surrender and let God use you. The problem is believers aren't praying. The problem is believers are off the cross. They're too busy pursuing wanting to become an internet guru or a life coach or a business owner. And I'm not saying these things are necessarily wrong in and of themselves, but when they replace the gospel, they become idols, demonic distractions. And we need to get our priorities straight. We have one mission and we get one shot at doing this. So my question to you is, what is that one thing that's keeping you off your cross? What is that one thing that God wants you to crucify? You see, the cross is a place of exchange. On the cross, Jesus took my sin and gave me his righteousness. He took my pain and he gave me his peace. He took my sorrow and he gave me joy. He took my weakness and he gave me power. He took my confusion and he gave me revelation. Cross is an exchanging. We exchange the worst of man for the best God has to offer. Stay on the cross. Crucify ambition. Say, Lord, I surrender my life. Whatever it is, that one thing is key. keeping you. You know what it is, even now as I'm talking. That one thing, crucify it. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Become a supporter of the Encounter Podcast by becoming a monthly partner or making a one-time donation today. Go to DavidHernandezMinistries.com or call 888-740-1110. And remember, nothing is impossible with God.